Welcome back. Thank you once again for joining us. It is yet another edition of the Soccer Specialist Podcast. I believe this is episode 117. I have to tell you, I really didn't think I'd get into the double digits. I thought I'd do a couple of episodes, see that I had like three viewers for one and, you know, a viewer or I guess listener or, you know, two listeners for another and be like, wow, this is just, this is not going to work. This is going to be a lot of work to build up. But here we are, 117 episodes later. So first thing I want to do is I want to share an email I got a while back because I thought it was kind of cool. And hey, listeners, right? Neat. So it says, hi, I have two younger boys in soccer, 8 and almost 6, and we live in Virginia Beach. I found your podcast because someone recommended it in one of the Facebook pages I am in. Time out. Quick shout out, by the way, as I always say to you, the whole reason we even have listeners is all of you that listen and enjoy it and think it's of value to players and parents. You go and let other people know. So I really, really do appreciate that. Okay. And getting back into the, okay. And since I have recommended it to so many older players and parents, again, thank you, because it's been fantastic in helping us as parents navigate soccer properly. I was so proud of one of our best friend's sons who has played up for many years and is a rock star. He was driving up to his dad's and listened for the first time and told his mom he really liked the self-confidence podcast that you did and listened to them the entire way up to his dad's. You certainly have impacted so many and have some great lessons for everyone and every age. First, thank you for sending that in. I really do appreciate it. It seems like a silly small thing, but it really does make a difference. It's the whole reason coaches, teachers, you know, that get into this type of thing, whether it's, you know, teaching in the classroom or a sport or what have you. And so it's nice to hear that it actually is having a positive impact. So I wanted to go through a couple of things that I've kind of talked about before. I recently brought them up again, I think in the Facebook group. We always get new listeners, we're always getting new people in the Facebook group. And some of the stuff is a good reminder. And one of them actually goes well with, something I just heard recently, which I'm going to try and play for you if I can. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about showing up to practice. When I showing up, I mean showing up, okay? And I'll try and explain that in a bit. But how you show up to practice is going to be how you show up in a competition. In other words, how you choose to approach your training, that's going to be how you're going to show up on game day when you're called to perform. Okay, if you don't automatically flip a switch and it becomes another level. So if you put in the work off the field, you know, outside of the team and with the team, but definitely also outside of the team, there will be no question that you're going to be able to perform on game day. You may not win everything all at once. You're not going to be great instantly, but you're going to make steady progress. And as I've talked about, and I think I even posted recently, you know, development's all over the map. You will take steps back first, right? The whole one step back, two steps forward thing. But over time, you're going to make steady progress. Sometimes it's going to be slow. Sometimes it's going to be quick, but it's going to be in the right direction. And eventually you are going to get there, and it will not have been handed to you. You will have earned it because you put in the time and the effort to get better. And here's the kicker on that I think is really important is we all focus, you know, as players seeing other players, as fans watching sports, we all focus on the end result and we don't see what it took to get to that place. And so a lot of people talk about their dreams and their goals and what they want to do, whether it's soccer or whether it's in life and in something else, but it's your actions that are going to define what actually happens. Your actions that are going to scream, right? Your actions that are going to get you to those, well, I don't even want to say dreams, to those goals. Because if you're actually putting, if you know it's a goal and you've figured out what you have to do to get there and you're following that and taking action to get there, it's a goal because you're going to eventually get to it. You know, and so the standards that you set for yourself, what you do, are the measure of your dedication to that goal. Is it a real goal for you? Is it something you truly want? Or does it just sound good? And an example I like to use for that, I believe this was, you all can double check me and let me know. I'm not positive. I'm not going to take the time to look it up, but I believe this was Stephen King in his book on writing, or maybe it had been in an interview, but he talked about back in the day when we didn't have all the internet and everything else, you know, one of those like dreams that a lot of people had was to write the great American novel. And what Stephen King was saying is those people didn't want to do that, really. Most of them didn't want to do that. Not when they found out what it took. They liked the idea of having done it, and now they're reaping the rewards of being a best-selling novelist, but they didn't want to actually sit down, pen to paper, typewriter, computer, and do the actual work of staring at a blank screen every day, 8-10 hours a day, you know, or if they're working a full-time job, you know, 2-4 hours at night or in the morning, and actually put in the work it takes to become so good at that craft, to create this imaginary world that connected with readers. And then, of course, trying to get published and everything like that. They didn't really want to be someone who'd written the great American novel. Okay. And I think that applies to so many things, including soccer. To give you an example, and I think I've mentioned this before, if you have hit some really poor shots in games recently, you're struggling with your shot, or maybe you're struggling simply with your dribbling, right? Maybe you've been one of those players who's embraced a lot of what I've talked about, and you're challenging defenders more 1v1, but you keep losing the ball. So what do you do about it? Most players, they don't do anything. They continue to go to their team practices, and that's what they do. And I guess they hope that that's going to be enough, and they're going to get better, and it's just going to magically improve. But the person, and again, see, that's what I mean, the person who does that, they're not really serious about chasing the dream or goal that they talk about in terms of how good they want to be, whether, you know, make varsity as a freshman or play college ball or whatever, or just be on the top club team in their club that they're not on, or, you know, make the ECNL team. ECNL, yeah, I said that right. They don't really have that goal. It'd be cool, but they're not going to do anything extra for it. Now, the player that comes to practice 20 minutes early to work on their shooting, you know, grabs a teammate or their coach, you know, even ask the coach, hey, coach, can you show up 20 minutes early and help me with my shot and work on my technique and stuff? And they, you know, do some extra shooting at practice. Or when I talked about ball control, maybe it's 10, 15 minutes a day in the morning before school, they get up, they go through their ball routine, like, and they put in that work. Maybe they get a parent or a teammate or player to help them be kind of like a passive/active defender for them to dribble at and make their work on making their moves going left and right. That's the player who's serious about what they say they want to achieve as a player. Okay. In the description I gave you of those two types, the one who doesn't do anything, continues to go to team practice and hopes that part of the game just magically changes, or the player that takes it upon themselves to take control, even if it's getting others involved, like another teammate or a coach to help, who do you think is going to have the best chance? If they both have the same goal, whatever it is, like I just mentioned, if they both have the goals, who do you think is going to have a better chance of reaching it, right? It's going to be the player that's willing to dedicate him or herself to going beyond, not just being okay with the struggles and hoping it gets fixed at team practices, but going beyond getting it right more often than not, to where it becomes that they practically can't get it wrong. You've heard me talk about that before. They won't accept anything less than their best. And their best means putting in the effort and the time to be as good as they can possibly be. You know that you might need to put in a little extra effort to reach a specific goal. Okay, now I want to try. I've never done this before, so bear with me. I may end up coming back and saying, oh, well, that didn't work. But I'm going to try for a minute here to play a really brief clip for you from Kobe Bryant. So bear with me for a second. We'll see how this goes.
It's a simple thing of math. If you want to be a great player, if you play every single day, 2-3 hours, every single day over the course of a year, how much better are you getting? Most kids will play maybe, you know, an hour and a half, 2 days a week.
Right.
2-3 hours every single day over a year, over 2 years.
You're an accelerator.
You make quantum leaps. There's no,
it's math.
That's it.
Show up every single day.
Show up every single day, do the work.
So what Kobe is saying there is obviously something I've been talking about a lot. I thought it was interesting when he said hour, hour and a half, and 2 days a week, which just fits in perfectly with, you know, 95% of clubs out there, right? Basically your team practice. And he's talking 2-3 hours a day, every day. Of course, also what he's talking about, and I've talked about this before in terms of culture and so forth, with basketball, a lot of that is also going to be pickup games. You have that opportunity that you don't really have as much with soccer. I mean, with basketball, a lot of times is you just go to the courts and you might be going to play on your own, but a lot of times there'll be enough kids over there that you end up playing pickup ball for a long time. 1-on-1, 2v2, 3v3, that sort of thing. And it makes a huge, huge difference in your development. Funny, Kobe actually kind of downplayed it when he talked about 2-3 hours a day, because I can tell you from being a Philly person and hearing the stories and so forth, when he was here, it's that'd be a short day for Kobe growing up. So it's just, I wanted you to hear it from someone else who obviously was incredibly talented, but like a quote that I like of his, he liked to say he worked as if he had none, right? So obviously then you put the two together of incredible amount of talent and that work ethic, and you get one of the greatest players of all time in his sport. And it's not to say, because I saw some comments on this quote where I saw it and people like, oh, well, Kobe had a lot of talent. Yeah, he did. But if he didn't do what he did, if he didn't have his mentality, if he didn't have his work ethic, he wouldn't have been who he was. He wouldn't have been even close. So understand, it's not about, oh, you do this, you're going to be, you know, Kobe, or you're going to be, in our case, Ronaldo, Messi, Marta, Carly, Alex, Rose. It's you're going to be the best possible player you can be, because you're going to get the most out of the talent that you have, whatever talent level that might be. If you want to be the best, you need to show that same type of dedication and do it because you respect yourself too much to ever accept anything less than your best effort, no matter what you do. And look, let's be fair. Sometimes our best effort's just awful, isn't it? I mean, you have those days. I used to... It's so hard to explain, but anybody who's ever played a sport long enough, you know what I'm talking about. And I can't think of what we used to call it, but you just have those days where you feel like you can't get into the game. And it's not that you don't care. It's not that you're not trying. It just doesn't feel right. You don't feel worked up the way you normally do, like in terms of your sweat. You kind of feel like you're going in slow motion, even though you feel you're giving your best effort. It's a weird thing, but we all have those days. So when I say best effort, I don't necessarily mean, you know, that you're playing your greatest, but you're giving your best effort that you can give in that game, in that situation. So obviously, as I say, genetics and talent definitely matter, but you're going to be far ahead of where you would be otherwise. You're going to be far ahead of those players that are more gifted, genetically speaking, that have more natural talent, but they aren't doing what you're doing. They're the hour and a half a day, twice a week player, and you're doing, you know, and I understand there are different levels, different ages. If you're a parent listening to this, you have an 8-year-old kid, we're not telling them to play 2-3 hours a day, but it might be 10 or 15 minutes with the ball at their feet every day, right? Something that consistency, 10 or 15 minutes a day with the ball every day is a lot better than 5 hours on a Saturday every couple months. Okay. So just start somewhere and build on it. I'm not telling everyone right now with everything you have going on that you have to go out and do 2-3 hours a day. But when you get older, you start hitting high school age, you have more defined goals of what you want to be. That may be very necessary for you to do. I guess we're getting at, are you going to be that kind of person that is going to go after those goals you say you want? You're going to try your hardest during conditioning, even though it may not be fun, even though you may be complaining under your breath too, but you're still going to give 100% doing it. You're going to give 100% in practice in games, and that includes your focus, not just the physical activity. Are you going to work on your skills away from practice, right? And give it everything that you have, whatever you're doing, no matter what, or do your best to do that. Like I said, I understand it's not always going to feel like we're giving 100%, but that's your 100% for that day, right? So are you going to be that kind of person that just, you've been playing a little while, I laugh because I had teammates like this over the years. I've had players I've coached that are like this. I'm sure you've experienced it if you've been around enough. You have those players that just happen to be injured if conditioning gets a little tough, right? Or they have to be subbed out of games if the opponent's getting the better of them, you know, that type of thing, you know, or you walk back on defense because you're tired and you hope your teammate's going to bail you out and then no one's going to notice. right? Like I always said before, just because a forward, you're a forward doesn't mean it wasn't your fault when the other team scores, because it may have started with you because you didn't do your job as the first defender, and it ends up being a goal. So the kind of player you are and the kind of player you're going to be, it's going to be determined by what's inside of you. It's not going to be determined by your physical talent. Now, I actually had a whole long spiel because we've done a lot of mental stuff lately. I wanted to go over some actual gameplay stuff, but this has gotten kind of long. Hopefully the Kobe Bryant quote even worked. I hope you heard it. But I'm going to save that then for another podcast, but that's cool because now that I already have the next one, I know what it's going to be, so I won't have to worry about getting it out on time. It's not going to be delayed, so I'm going to leave it there. Thank you once again for listening. I really do appreciate it. Hopefully you got something out of this. Please, if you think it's going to benefit anybody else, give it to your team, give it to your club, let them know about it. Leave a like, a review, a rating, or whatever, wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Let's do another take. Those two seem to be the biggest one on here. Oh, one last thing. I think it's kind of cool. Now, I know it's not completely accurate because you could have a kid listen on your parents' phone or whatever. Maybe you're both listening. But it's just cool to see. It does kind of – there's been enough of this now that it breaks down by age, the listeners. And I think it's like 30% of the listeners are under 25 or something, which means players are listening, which is really, I think, really kind of cool. I'm glad to hear that. So thank you for that as well. If you haven't done so, please go check out ImpactSoccerPerformance.com or go check out ImpactTotalTouch.com. One, you know, the first one, Impact Soccer Performance, speed, agility, explosiveness, quickness, strength, all that stuff. Impact Total Touch is all about ball control, right? Mastering the ball at your feet, which is pretty awesome and important. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm dragging now. All right. Thank you again. I will talk to you later.